I come, as I do from time to time, I'm ever conscious of the needs of many, particularly those who, by circumstance in your world, are bereft of hope, who see no glimmer of light in the darkness of your world, and who are desolate and despondent, and who tread the pathway of life alone, so they think, who have lost faith and know not which way to turn, and particularly unto those who are sad and sorrowing do I speak. And there are so many in your world today,
yes,
who have lost, as they think, the one most near and dear, and who tread the pathway in loneliness and uncertainty as to whether there is a life to come, and if they shall be reunited in the far distant time that is to be, in a world of joy and happiness and tranquility and peace of the spirit. There are those who, in the darkness, seek as they do this light that we can give. And unto those who have taken the time to listen to the voice of the Spirit, I say there is no death, that you walk not alone. Lift up your head to the realm of the Spirit, that you might see that light that pierces the darkness of materialism. And as I speak unto you, I realize that there are many questions that come from the earth in the hour of despair, questions which, if in the answering, can bring that glimmer of hope, shall renew each one of you to seek, and so in consequence shall ye find. Many are they who are searching for the key that will unlock the door of wisdom, of hope, of truth, and of light. Many are you who, as it were, in the darkness, fumbling for that key. We shall, if you will allow us, make possible the opening of the door of knowledge. And the many questions that you ask shall be answered, and the pathway shall be made clear, and you shall go forward and stumble not. Too many are they in your world who proclaim, as they think, the truth of the Spirit, but they are oft times blinded by their very foolishness. And though they may, to all appearances, appear wise, yet they are like unto the blind that see not, and lead those in your world in blindness. They talk of these things of which we speak, and yet they cannot perceive, and neither can they expound.
Broken off.
Why is it on?
Do what?
Why is it on?
Mickey.
Hold on,
we can't do anything else, we can. Sorry, Mickey, I can't help it.
Many to whom you write, and many to whom you speak, who must have many questions that are unanswered. Many of these souls who are seeking enlightenment, if you can obtain from them in the future questions appertaining to the spirit, appertaining to the work of the spirit and the manifestation of the spirit and the power of the spirit, if you can obtain questions that lie unanswered, if you can collect these questions and each time you come present me with a few each time, I will endeavor to answer them so that you shall have some substantial matter which will be of general interest and enlightening, I trust, to those who are seeking diligently and sincerely the pathway. There must be many in your world who are on the threshold of this truth, who have many questions, many probing thoughts, which in the answering will, as it were, give them an insight and give them an assurance which will enable them in consequence to step forward out of the darkness of materialism into the light of the spirit. And each question shall be unto a step, like that they shall build in consequence a ladder and shall be able to ascend to some extent into the realization of the things which are eternal, the things which are by their very nature indestructible. There must be many a probing thought, many a question that, if answered, would give renewed hope and confidence, making many in your world more assured, more able to understand these things.
It takes a lot of understanding, though, to the ordinary person in the face of the materialistic attitude in the world, doesn't it?
My child, he who would understand the things that are of the spirit, as Christ said, must be born anew. They shall be like unto little children whose minds are free and open to receive. Those whose convictions are strong with preconceived notions and ideas, those whose minds are full of many things which they had been taught, which they had been made to assimilate over a long period of time. These are they who find difficulty, particularly, in assimilating truth. But they cannot cast aside easily those things which are so strongly reinforced over a long period of time. Those who are held down by creed and dogma, those whose minds are heavy laden and overburdened, these are they who find most the difficulty in receiving and assimilating truth.
Yes.
But those who have no strong views nor convictions, those whose minds are free and uncluttered, these are they whom we can most commune with. These are they whom we are most able to influence, because they are, as it were, in a sense, like children. They have not allowed themselves to become fettered and tied. They have, as it were, by the very fact of their innocence, made possible to receive that which we have to give.
Mm.
There are those in your world who are high and mighty and so-called well-informed, those whose education and background is such that their minds are cluttered and in consequence are not able to perceive. They have strong views and adamant in their beliefs. In these things are they so firmly entrenched that which we would endeavour to give them is rebuffed, and yet the very foundation of much that they believe emanates from the power of the Spirit. When a child stands at the knee of its father, it listens, may not fully comprehend, but accepts, perhaps some would say, at that age, blindly. But if that which the Father giveth is good, then gradually the assimilation of the knowledge begins to take shape and form and begins to have effect. And as the child grows in stature and experience, so it is put to the test, and so it is expounded anew. But there are many in your world who are considered to be great leaders of men, and yet they are full of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Oftimes they will turn and say that many who are like children are foolish and ignorant, and yet oft times the wildest imaginings of man cannot comprehend and cannot understand much that is spoken with the imagination that some have. They build for themselves not on a rock of truth, but on a shifting sand. Much that is within man, yet undiscovered, dormant, latent within, is that which has been submerged over centuries of time, because man, in consequence, has become more and more and more material, and has so cluttered himself up that the boundless truth is like a river that has been dammed and cannot flow free. And man in his wild thoughts and imaginings creates havoc and stupid reactions, children, as indeed must you become, before you begin to see and perceive these things of which we speak and the realities thereof. Children you must become, ye must be born again.
Can you see it happening?
In some respects, yes, with some souls here and there. And this is another reason why we must be, in all that we endeavor to say and do, universal as indeed we are, we must break down the barriers that separate men, whether it be national, or whether it be creedal, whether it be of color or race. We must bring all the children of the living God together in love and in harmony and in peace and tranquility. We must make mankind see that the barriers that he has created over the centuries of time are the foolishness of man. These are the things which hold man back, and he cannot progress because he himself has created these things which separate him from God, separate him from the light of the Spirit and the wisdom thereof. We must learn men that they might see that until they can divest themselves of all their strong preconceived notions and theories and ideas, until they can divest themselves of a spirit that is national, until they can divest themselves of the realization that they seem to have, that they hold the power within their grasp, until they can perceive that this power is purely a material and a physical power and has no spiritual significance or realization, until they can see that until there is a balance brought into being in the hearts and the minds of men everywhere, a balance where material and spiritual dwell in harmony, because this is the tragedy of your world, there is no balance. We realize the need and the necessity of aspects of the material which are essential to your well-being. This world of the material is the world in which you yourselves as spiritual beings should be expressing yourselves. You are given a material body, you are given a material life, but it is not unlike, in a sense, the schoolroom in which you must pass through and learn many a lesson. But if you understand the purpose of life, you understand and realize the necessity of experiencing many things. But with a spiritual realization, if you can perceive the necessity of living materially, but with a spiritual significance and a spiritual awareness and a spiritual conscience and realization of truth, that you can perceive these things in harmony, and they should be in harmony. If when man sees these things of which we speak brought into being, then shall the change in your world come. Christ said, as you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Man is dual inasmuch that he is spirit and he is matter. And it should be that the spirit is expressing itself through the matter, through the material, through the physical. If the power of the spirit were made whole and it were made possible to express itself in a material sense, then the whole world would have cause to rejoice. And the barriers would be broken down. There would be no foolishness. There would be no stupidity. There would be no narrow concept. There would be no hatred, malice, nor intolerance among men. They would learn to live in harmony and in peace. There would be a universal truth, which is the basis of all the religious teachings of your world. But man has built up religions. And in these, as he brought to himself untold misery. The spirit, the power of the spirit, this is the life-giving force. This is that which dies not, continueth forever. We must break down the barriers.
Yes. You must help me try.
In your way, in a small way, you serve, child.
We try, don't we?
The seeds are sown here and there. And some seeds flourish, and others fall on the stony ground. But the garden of the spirit hath no weeds, and it is nurtured by love and blossometh forth. Great is its beauty to behold. You have seen some of the beauty of the spirit, but if sometimes in your wanderings here and there you see much rejection of these things of which we speak, be not disconsolate. Be assured that the day shall surely come when man shall realize it may not be for a very long time as you turn time, but the seeds that are sown bear forth fruit, and others shall arise and go forth, and they shall sow the seeds, and the harvest shall be gathered in. When you come, as you will eventually here, you will be able to look back as others have done also, and you can rejoice that some have been helped, some have been guided, some have been uplifted, and some have felt the urge to serve also, and they too shall carry on the work of the Spirit. Don't distress yourself unduly.
No, ma'am.
Continue, child, to serve and to know that not only I, but untold numbers of other souls are constantly around and about, seeking out ways and means to do these things of which we speak. You have been blessed, you have been helped, you have been uplifted and guided, and you serve and will continue to serve. You have had your moments of distress, material. You have had your moments when you have felt, perhaps, heavy laden, and the burden has been heavy to carry. But we have oft times made possible the path that you should tread to be lightened. You will continue, child.
Yeah. Help me physically, because I had a rotten hip, you know, and it limits me a little.
The healing power flows. The healing power will, I know, continue to keep you well.
Good.
To continue the work of the Spirit.
Good. Oh, can I ask you something, Patricia?
Yes, child.
When I came last time, you talked about your different lives, and I was so intrigued, because I assumed, not that you ever said so, that your Glastonbury life was the last one, but if you were in Florence in Savonarola's time, that was in 1452.
Oh, yes, child. I don't know why. Perhaps at some time I may have given you the impression that my previous incarnation was a Glastonbury. But there's much that I could say and will say in the time that is yet to be concerning these things that are termed incarnations, particulars to mine own.
Was that your last one? In Florence?
No, child.
No?
I've had two others.
There?
One day I'll tell you more about them.
Yeah.
But you must try, if you can, to realize that there are some on this side of life who periodically feel the need to return to Earth to do a specific work, perhaps to act in some fashion or other at a particular point or period in time, to do a service, to bring enlightenment and comfort and realization of these things in a material sense through a material body. It is not perhaps easy for you to understand, but you must remember that in time itself, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it may be upon earth, this is nothing.
Mm.
And it is not that we necessarily, because we subject ourselves to a new experience, a new earthly life, it is not necessarily for us a sacrifice. Sometimes people assume that because we choose to return for a specific work to do upon earth, that we are sacrificing our spiritual joy, our spiritual happiness. This is not so. There are many joys to be had even through suffering, even through unhappiness, even through, strange as it may seem, through ignorance on the behalf of those with whom you sometimes have your being. If you are not always accepted or understood, if you are rejected of men as Christ was and other great souls, there is an inner peace and an inner joy and an inner realization,
yes,
that you are achieving, even though it may seem at that time upon earth rejection, you are achieving the plan that has been set.
Yes.
We do not take, those of us who have experienced much, do not take things on the same level of realization that those who are materially minded do. We see the plan, we see it as it were, sometimes dimly, but we know that every part fits into the jigsaw puzzle of life. And though we may, for a moment of time, when on earth, appear to play a part which is obscure, seems to have little purpose or meaning, yet it is necessary. If we are to appreciate the light and the beauty, we must have the shade. Sometimes we have to play a role, as it seems, that to many who do not understand seemed unimportant, but it is not so, for each and every soul works without perhaps always realizing to an end that is set, that is good. The darkness must be that the light may come, for when the minds of men are changed, as they will be, and the darkness disappeareth, then shall they bask in the joy and the beauty and the harmony of lights of the Spirit, and all shall be well. Nothing is lost, my child, though it may seem so. Not one second, not one moment is wasted if, in the attempting to assist and encourage and enlighten those who dwell in darkness, if here and there a glimmer pierces the gloom, child, all is well, though it may not seem so. No matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, no matter how dense and dark it may seem around and about in your world, the glimmer of the light of the Spirit, the shaft of light that shall come and illumine the path of those who seek and those who desire to tread it, cannot be diminished, and joy shall come with the widening of experience. Bless you, child.
Bless
you. Be of good faith and good heart, and my peace and love be with you.
Thank you.
Farewell, child.
Thank you for your effort. Bless you.
Bye-bye, Auntie. Bye-bye. Sorry for the breaks.
Oh, that's all
right. Let's do it to power fluctuating. Bye-bye.
Is that what it is?
Yes, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Keep your pecker up.
Oh yes, mine's all right here. God bless. bless you all.